Bibles over to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. I mentioned a couple of families there. One of my classmates, her husband died suddenly this last week of a heart attack, which would be my age. And then a friend of mine, he's a friend from back home, but he lives in Lubbock now. He died suddenly yesterday morning. He's 2 years younger than me, and he had a heart attack. So it's telling David somewhat jokingly, but it's starting to hit home. You know, when people your age and younger are having these heart attacks, and I could go down the list over the last 3 or 4 years of classmates and friends that's been the case. So better have our hearts right and be ready. So Matthew chapter 24, we'll begin in verse 4. Says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes, in diverse places." Now, I'll remind you of the scripture I gave you last week, the Apostle Paul gave us in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. He said, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child." And so we talked about that metaphor, if you will, or type or picture that he gives there of a woman's birth pains. That's something that's common in Scripture relating to the end times, and it's a very fitting picture of the events that will come to pass leading up to the end times. Because as you near the end of a pregnancy, you know that's when the birth pains begin. And they progressively increase both in frequency and in intensity as you approach the delivery of the baby. And so that's exactly a perfect picture of the way things will happen in the end times. You begin to experience the birth pangs, and then they intensify and become more and more frequent until finally the Lord Jesus Christ returns, okay? And so there's going to be a lot of painful events, if you will, that happen as we near the return of Jesus Christ. I'm convinced, as we've studied many times before together, that yes, we read about the tribulation, and most of what you find in chapter 24 and 25 is regarding the tribulation, okay? A time that you and I won't see if we're born again Christians. We'll have been raptured out of here. But I'm also convinced that the end times don't only include the tribulation. I think you see things towards the end of the church age, and as you approach even the rapture, okay? And so when we study these things, it would stand to reason that we begin to see even some of those birth pangs before the rapture of the church, okay? And so last week we saw the first birth pain. It was described in chapter, or in verse 5 there. It just involves false teachers, false messiahs coming on the scene. They will begin to surface more and more, trying to dupe people into following them. They're going to be very convincing. They're going to lead a lot of people astray. We talked about the fact that when the church is raptured, there's still going to be a lot of religious people on this earth that were not born again, and they're going to be seeking for Christ, and it'll be ripe for false Christ to come along and say they have the answers, okay? That's the first birth pain. The second one will be the worldwide conflict that's talked about in verse 7. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And so there's just going to be wars and reports of wars worldwide, left and right, continually and during these times. Okay, so for today we're going to break some new ground and look at the second part of verse 7 there. And it says, "And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places." Okay, the third birth pain is going to involve widespread devastation across the planet. He first speaks of famines here. Of course, that's going to deal mostly with related to great starvation. Widespread shortages of food for whatever reason. It could be from too much demand upon the food chain because of the population growth, or great shortages within the food chain, or it could be both. And we know that the population growth is going to continue. Any number of different variables can contribute to a disruption of the food chain. Things like drought, storm damage, hail storms, of course, floods, et cetera, et cetera. Natural disasters can take our crops away from us. But our text speaks of pestilences here, and so let's talk about that for a moment, with famine in mind. Crop disease could fall into that category of pestilences, which would also contribute to famines. Okay, and an example of this is something that I was reading as I prepared this, and it was very interesting to me. So I got online and did a little more research, and in the last 20 years, many African and Middle Eastern and Asian countries have had plague, a disease hitting their wheat crops. It's called UG99, and it affects the stems of the wheat crop. It's called a stem rust, if you will. I'm sure it's some kind of a fungus or something along those lines that will attack the wheat plants, and it can cause, if it gets in the crop, it'll cause 100% loss of that crop. Despite the efforts of developing new varieties of wheat that are resistant to that, and there are some, the disease itself continues to evolve and create its own new strains that continue to attack. And so the scary thing about this is each year that particular plague, if you will, detected in more and more regions and countries. It seems to be spreading. Now, I'm not trying to cause alarm, but this is just one example of a pestilence, okay? Things that can directly affect the food chain. Already, this UG99 has put a strain on wheat supplies in certain regions, and it very well could develop into something and spread enough that it could create some great food storages, shortages rather. And that's just one example of a pestilence. Wheat crops, wheat is a staple for the world. It's a huge staple for the world, and so this is just again another example. Pestilences can also come in the form of insect infestation. That can range anywhere from great swarms of insects to just tiny microscopic insects that attack the roots and the stems of plant and begin to devour crops in that way. Weevils begin to they get into the crop storage. Grain silos and grain elevators have to battle the attack of weevils. And so all of those things, again, can lend to the pestilence, and the pestilence lends to the famine, and there's just so many things there that we could speak of. And all these things, I tell you all of this, all of these things are realities that exist right now, just small examples of things that already are happening. And so it's not hard to imagine what could develop during those end times when God's hand of judgment is upon the world, and when he withdraws his hand of protection and blessing across the food supply, if you will, across the world. It could be really ugly. And within the category of famines could also be the problem of water shortages. And I tell you, folks, one of the most alarming things that's happening in our age is just that. It's just something that people seem to overlook. The news don't put a whole lot of emphasis on it. But we, even right here in the United States, especially out west, we have water crises going on as we speak. And we're depleting the world's natural water sources. A lot of that population growth obviously contributes to that, but also reckless industrial and agricultural use. You and I have seen that just even locally. I love farmers, but sometimes you got 40-mile-an-hour winds and pivots running, and you know, it's just no sense in some things like that. But anyway, that's another story. And listen, let me just say this, and I sure don't want to have a debate about global warming here, okay? I know that's a hot topic and all this, but global warming to me deals more with the subject of man's footprint causing all these things. I don't know that that's the case, but I do think that we'd be amiss if we denied that there was a fairly drastic, really, I think, amount of climate change going on. And I don't tell you that because some activist or politician told me to believe that. I tell you that because I can read a rain gauge and a thermometer. And I've in my 40 or so years of adult life, it's very evident to me that there is some very drastic climate change. Now, what contributing to it, that's debatable, okay? I'm not saying that man has the ability to contribute to that, but it's changing, okay? And we'll just leave it at that. I think we'd be sticking our heads in the sand to see that we don't have hotter summers than we did 20 years ago. Records show that drastically hotter summers. So obviously it don't rain anymore, and there's a lot of things that we could talk about there. But let's leave that and talk about another form of pestilence here that we might not consider a pestilence, but it's just human disease. An infection. The fight against cancer is greater than ever, doing everything they can, but yet the amount of cancer cases around us seems to be growing. Every time you turn around, somebody else has cancer. Because of the overuse of antibiotics, we're now having more and more strains of bacteria that are resistant to those antibiotics, so infections can come in now. Such as staph that can take hold of a person and they can never get it completely gone. That person will deal with it for the remainder of their life, and unless there's some amputations take place, and I've seen that too. Okay, worldwide plague are really actually diseases that from the past really are beginning to reemerge across the world. Cholera, typhoid, polio, tuberculosis, even bubonic plague is beginning to surface and reemerge, if you will, across the world. And these are things, again, that are just kind of a tip of the iceberg. If these are a reality now, as we speak, you can see how that could be multiplied many times over when God's hand is a blessing has been removed from this earth and they're in that tribulation time, okay? And so, now let's talk about earthquakes. We have had all this other good news. We'll talk about earthquake. You know, there's not a reason to spend a lot of time on this other than to say records show that the number of earthquakes worldwide have been increasing from year to year. I don't know to what degree. I read some statistics, but it was boring enough that I'm not going to pass it on to you. But there are increases. And what's interesting to me, of all the natural disasters that can happen here upon Earth, I believe there's a reason that the Bible puts the most emphasis on earthquakes. Because really, it's when you think about it, it's the least forgiving and potentially most devastating of all acts of God, if you want to call it that. When a flood comes, you go to higher ground, right? When a tornado strikes, you go below the ground, the basement or the cellar. When a hurricane approaches, you move inland. When wildfire begins to spread, you relocate or you flee the area. When hail comes, you take cover. I don't know what you do about volcanoes. You just don't live there. I'm not sure about that one, okay? But earthquakes can happen anywhere and create an unlimited amount of devastation, and where are you going to go? And the whole idea that even the ground that you're standing on is not stable or secure seems to me to be one of the most vulnerable feelings that a person could have. And I've never been in an earthquake, But the Bible says they're going to be in diverse places. And so they'll be, honestly, and we'll read in just a few moments, and I'll show you, they could be anywhere and everywhere, okay? So I say all this, and I didn't mean to bore you with all the things that we've discussed, but again, if we have the things right now, then they're a reality to us right now, and some of them escalating, then you can imagine when it comes time for the end times, when the rapture has taken place and God's church is gone and we're in that tribulation period. Now, let's look at verse 8, and I'll finish with this and have you on your way. Jesus says, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. The word sorrow there, it literally means birth pangs, okay? You can look it up in the Greek. So there again, we have the analogy of birth pangs. Can you imagine the scene in a hospital delivery room? A woman has just had three very intense contractions right in a row. They've had her to the point of nearly crawling out the top of the hospital bed, okay? That's how bad they've been. And then the nurse, the nurse that's in charge there, looks at her and says, hey, don't be alarmed. This is just the beginning. You can imagine how encouraging that would be to a woman, right? And some of you have been there. Well, that's what Jesus is saying right here in this verse. He says, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. Man, I tell you, what we're just talked about is just kind of a mild image of how things can be and be multiplied many times over during the tribulation. Now, let me leave you with some scriptures over in Revelation. If you'll turn over to your Bibles to Revelation chapter 6, and I'll just leave you with some interesting words from the Apostle John. Revelation chapter 6, John is seeing these the visions that the angel of the Lord is bringing to him, and he's seeing the seals, the seven seals are being broken during the tribulation period, something that would be interesting study if you ever want to do on your own. And as those seals are being broken, I want you to notice verse 12. It says, and I behold, and when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken in a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Now, that's a pretty big earthquake. When every island has been moved, okay? You can imagine a worldwide earthquake like that. I wonder where that would rank on the Richter scale. I'm quite sure it would be something that was immeasurable. Now, let's go ahead and move over a chapter. Move over a chapter to chapter 8, beginning in verse 6. And now we're dealing with the trumpets now, and it says, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared. I think I messed up. Let's go back to chapter 6. I apologize. I don't know how in the world I got this. Y'all bear with me. I'm sorry. I rarely make a mistake, but it's happened. 6 and verse 7. Okay, chapter 8. I'm sorry. In verse 6 and 7 again. I'm sorry for the disruption. It says, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound, and the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and a third part of the trees were burned up, and all the grass was burned up. So you talk about disrupting the food chain. When you take all the green grass out of the picture, and that's exactly what it says there, was burned up. You take a third of the trees, you think about fruit production, Scarlett, a third of your trees out there, you won't be here. We'll be gone, okay? But she's in the apple orchard, okay, that she tends to. You can imagine what kind of food chain disruption there would go there. And then I want you to notice what he goes on in verse 8 and says, "And the second angel sounded, as it were a great burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood, and a third part of the creatures which were in the sea that had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed." Now, that, you imagine the effect on the food industry there. All a third part of marine life dies, okay? Tuna's going to go up, and shrimp, and whatever. And then a third part of the ships that are on the ocean will be destroyed. That's food distribution, cargo strips, ships, and everything else. Now let's look at verse 10. "And the third angel sounded, and there fell a star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter." And so there goes, if you take something like that, again, this is in the tribulation, but all the fresh water that is needed for drink, and of course, if you're going to deal with irrigation, it's needed for that as well. And so you take that out of the equation, the fresh water supply, at least a third of it out of the equation, and then if there's a third that's poisoned people and died, they're going to be scared to drink the rest. It could be quite a deal, okay? And so to say that the sorrows got worse would be an understatement. Jesus says there in Matthew, he says, these are just the beginning of sorrows. So the birth pangs that we talked about today that we experience and are mild compared to what's going to take place when God raptures his church and the wrath of God begins to be spilled upon the earth, okay? All right, more good news next week, okay? Y'all come back and we'll look over something new, okay? Appreciate you so much. Let's stand and be dismissed. Good group tonight, too, by the way. Thank you for being faithful. All right. Brother Ike, will you lead us in prayer, please?